The Body of Christ Church cordially invites you to listen to our show, It's Time to Awake. On this show, there will be various topics presented, examined, and explained with an emphasis on the Word of God and the doctrine of repentance through His Son Christ. This show will air every Thursday on Blog Talk Radio at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Romans 13 and 11, and that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The night is far fixed, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. We hope that you join us, and may you be edified by the word of God through Christ. Shalom.
The name of the show is It's Time to Awake, where we try to enlighten our people to the light of the scriptures that come out of the Bible. And what we're going to deal with is a topic today, do Black lives really matter to Blacks? Because what we have to understand, that the clip that I played in the intro was the part on the Staple Singers. They made a song back in the 70s. Called Respect Yourself. And the chorus to the song is, if you don't respect yourself, how is anyone going to give a hoot about you? So this is the thing that we have to understand when we go on into this class tonight. What the question is, and I'm going to pose it, why would the masses of people respect Black lives if Black people don't respect their own lives? So what we're going to do is we're going to listen to some reports about something that is just had occurred here recently, a rumor. But we're going to deal with the rumor, why it's even an issue, and then we're going to delve in and show you what's actually really going on for real. So now I want everybody to sit back. Introduce yourselves first, brothers, before I get into this. You want to start with you, say something.
Just giving all praise to the Heavenly Fathers. I want to say welcome to the listening audience. This is Jonathan, brother of and servant of Jesus Christ. It's glad to be here.
Okay, that's probably what it's up for me. brother from the ATL. Okay, Kazak, say something to the people, bro.
Giving all praises to the Heavenly Father Christ. It's definitely good to be back and look forward to examining this topic in the Holy Scriptures.
Okay, very good, very good. So now what we're going to do is we're going to go right into this, and I want y'all to listen closely to this news report that, you know, is the pretty much the gist of this story about whether or not Black lives really matter to Black people. Okay, pay attention to this.
Morning, a hail of gunfire breaks out throughout South Los Angeles, sparking a brief tactical alert by police. Eyewitness News reporter Darsha Phillips is live at the LAPD's 77th Division with the latest on these gang-related shootings. Darsha.
John, well, a total of five people were shot within a matter of hours in three separate incidents. Now, LAPD does not have any suspects in custody, but they do say that they believe all of these shootings were gang-related. Now, one person did not survive that shooting. And the latest shooting occurred about 9:40 last night at Vermont Park. Two females and a male were transported with gunshot wounds. Their conditions are not known at this time. Police are searching for a suspect, but have little to go on. And about 30 minutes before the gunfire at Vermont Park, a man was shot in the stomach about 3.5 miles away on Hyde Park Boulevard in Brynhurst. He was transported to the hospital and was alert and talking. And earlier yesterday, about 4 p.m., a young man was fatally shot in the head on 81st and Hooper. Now, all of these shootings prompted an LAPD tactical alert that lasted until 1 a.m. yesterday. And again, LAPD do believe that this all these shootings are gang-related. Now, I do want to tell you about a warning on social media that has to do with 100 days, 100 nights, which refers to an apparent rival bet between two rival gangs in this area who will plan on killing 100 people in 100 days. Now, we did ask LAPD about this, and they said that they are aware of the phrase, but will not comment further on this. But again, very disturbing that these are the warnings that are going on social media. It's hashtag 100 days, 100 nights. Many people on social media are asking folks in this area to stay safe. Live in South Los Angeles, I'm Darsha Phillips, ABC 7 Eyewitness News. Yeah.
So just in case, you know, that wasn't caught by everyone, there's a gang, a group, a clique of gangs in L.A., and they go by the name of the Rolling 100s. And, you know, it's this rivalry that they have because one of the gang members connected to the Rolling 100s was killed just recently, probably within the past week or two or so. And basically, they said it's a rumor how the gangs made a bet between the rivalry gangs to see if they could kill, who could kill the most. They want to try to kill 100 people in 100 days, and it's a bet to see who can reach that mark, right, first. So now, this is the thing. When you go to South Central L.A., right, from your understanding of South Central L.A., who is that? Who lives in South Central L.A., you want to think? What does that area mostly comprise of?
Okay, that area, that demographic of people will be classified. The people, the residents, the people that live there will be classified as Black / Afro-American / Negro / people that was once in chattel slavery here in the United States.
Well, not only that, you got brown people there too. Correct?
That too. Right. So not just them and them as well. Sorry about
right.
that.
Right. Yeah. Black and brown, right? Pretty much. So, but very few, if any, white people, right?
Yeah, they're the minority.
Okay, so exactly. Very few, if any. Now, what they were reporting, that it's been a spike in shootings and crime, right? And they're saying maybe it might be connected to the rumored social media report some woman put out that gangs, the rival area gangs there, have made a wager to see who can kill 100 people in 100 days, who reaches that mark first. Now, mind you, they're all Black, some browns in there, right? So I just want to play the short part about the social media clip, right? I want you to listen to that again. Let's everybody pay attention to this.
Now, I do want to tell you about a warning on social media that has to do with 100 days, 100 nights, which refers to an apparent rival bet between two rival gangs in this area who will plan on killing 100 people in 100 days. Now, we did ask LAPD about this, and they said that they are aware of the phrase, but will not comment further on this. But again, very disturbing that these are the warnings that are going on social media. It's hashtag 100 days, 100 nights. Many people on social media are asking folks in this area to stay safe. Live in South Los Angeles, I'm Darsha Phillips, ABC 7 Eyewitness News. Yes.
So what you have is a situation where you have a situation that there's a social media warning that went out and there's peace rallies going on. And of course, you don't see this on, you know, mass media. They still talk about whether Donald Trump raped his wife when he was married to her that she denies. And they know it's not real, but they still reporting it. They're too busy talking about Bruce Jenner because he put on a skirt dress and had some kind of makeup or change or whatever the hell. And he won an award. Or, you know, the latest bullcrap politic thing. But, you know, these kind of things go what? Unchecked in the regular mass media, right? So, basically, you got a situation here prompted by this gang member named KP, I believe his name is, when you check the story. If you type in 100 murders in 100 days on an internet, it'll come up. Stories, they're off the chain. But what came out of it was, okay, that was a young black man that died, got killed, shot down. And what came out of that was a contest, rumored supposedly, to see how many other black people that could be killed. Now, these are not cops killing black people. These are black people killing black people. So my question is, and they're shooting up and the shooting's already then started spiking since this contest has gone, to the point where you notice in that report, they had to make a special alert to the cops, a tactical alert to the cops to be on the lookout for these shootings, right? So the question is, it's two questions. The Black Lives, I'll start with you, Kazak. When you look at things like this, and we have more, we don't have rumors. We could have went to any city in USA and see where our people are, blacks and browns, and you see the same things going on. But I just went to two. And they said this might be a rumor, but I'm going to go someplace and give some reports where it's not a rumor. But the whole point is two things, Zach. And just so you know, for all of you that might be listening online, the chat room is now open if you want to log in on the internet. It's two questions, two things, right? When you look at it, do black lives really matter to blacks? That's one question. And no, I'll just start there and I'll hold off on the second question. Do black lives really matter to blacks? Considering when you look at something like this, that's very prominent among our people, the way we deal with one another. Go ahead, Kazak. I'll start with you.
It would appear not. Mm. And I use the word appear sparingly because there are a lot of quote-unquote black people out there whose lives do matter, and they do they do value life. It's unfortunate that we're talking about this particular rumor, this particular development out in California, in which you have an ongoing wager between two gangs as to if they can claim 100 lives in 100 days. But I would like to really get into the meat of it. And by that, I would like to refer to the scriptures, which is the source of our wisdom and our understanding. So now let's go to the book of Hosea. Can you still hear me, brothers?
Yeah, we got you. Go ahead.
Okay, great. So let me go to Hosea, the book of Hosea, chapter 4, verse 6. And let's start there. And it says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. Now, for persons who are listening in on this telecast, they may say, what relevance does this particular verse have to deal with what's going on out there in California? All right, let's take a look. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Let's take a look at that right quick. We're not going to go through the whole scripture because that in itself could take all the way up to 75% of the show. But when the scripture says my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, that means we as a people, we are destroyed spiritually. We have no wisdom. Why? Because we lack the knowledge of thus saith the Lord. We lack the knowledge of the wisdom of the Lord God Almighty, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and that knowledge is in the Bible. So we're lacking the teachings of the Lord God Almighty and his son Jesus Christ. And because of that, we are destroyed. We have no foundation. An example of that is the fact that, you know, we have gang members that don't value life. They value not their own lives, let alone the life of somebody else. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. So let's stop right there and look at that. We, as a people, we have a very, 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 notorious track record of rejecting the knowledge of the Heavenly Father. When someone comes with the Bible and says, hey, according to the word of the Lord, you're not supposed to do that, or we're not supposed to be caught up and involved in this and this, one of the first replies that comes out of the mouths of our people is, I don't want to hear that. That's you coming out of that Bible. I want to hear nothing about that Bible. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to live the life how I want to live it. And whatever you say coming out of that book, it is of no relevance to me. You know how people say these things. So now going forward. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. What is a prime example of the Lord God Almighty rejecting us? How about slavery? How about this quote-unquote black-on-black crime? How about so many of our youth, being gunned down in the streets? How about the disproportionate rate of unemployment amongst our people? And when I say our people, I'm not referring specifically to just African Americans. I'm referring to our people. I'm referring to African Americans, Latinos, our people over there in the Caribbean. These things that are happening disproportionately are happening at a higher rate among us. So it begs the question, why? Why are these things happening? When you get into the scriptures and read the scriptures and read the word of the Heavenly Father, you read Deuteronomy 28, the blessings and the curses, that will befall our people, blessings for our obedience, curses for our disobedience, then you should be able to put two and two together and see that the Bible and the things that the Bible teaches are real. This book is not a book of fairy tales. This book is not just a book of wise sayings and dark proverbs. This book is a history of our people, our past, as well as our future, if we obey the Lord, also if we disobey the Lord. So now getting back to the scriptures. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Once upon a time, we were a nation of priests, specifically the tribe of Levi. But because we rejected the knowledge of the Heavenly Father, because we made the conscious choice as a nation to be disobedient to the Lord basically said, okay, I'm going to punish you. And even in these days and times, we are still, as a people, feeling the wrath of the Heavenly Father. seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. And that's very plain, that's very evident when you look at the news. And I'm not talking about just the quote-unquote black-on-black crimes. I'm also referring to all the madness that our children are involved in. Homosexuality, lesbianism, gangs, the young men of our nation want to turn around and be women. Women of our nation want to turn around and be men. All of those are examples of the Heavenly Father forgiving our children because of our choice as a nation to be rebellious, stiff-necked, hard-hearted, and disobedient to the Lord God Almighty by not following his scriptures, by not following and applying the teachings of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Back to you, brother.
Very good. Now, you gave a real quick brief synopsis on, you know, why you say it doesn't seem or appear that Black matters live to Blacks, because something you said, though, when you open the Bible, people don't want to deal with it, because, you know, a lot of people have been convinced based on what they've been fed as Christianity, or that is the Bible, and they have totally turned off. That's why, like, a lot of times back in the day, you know, in the 50s and the 60s, people were looking for alternative religions and so on and so forth that wasn't the Bible. Because pretty much the version of Christianity that we've been taught and that most of the masses of our people have sucked up is based on what we were taught coming out of the plantations, and we just taken it and adopted it and made it ours. But that's by design, though, when you look at it. And I want to read a scripture real quick. So before I go to you, I want to bring out this point. Because I had a conversation with some people on Facebook. They said that the Adam and Eve story was a fable. And you know what the problem was? They don't understand the creation story or anything connected to it. And also, a lot of the things that's been presented to them as Christianity has been presented as a lie. And we have to understand, old folks oftentimes say Satan is a liar. But what we fail to understand, I think he's a better deceiver than a liar. So now when you look at why you said, when you open the Bible and you start telling people, hey, listen, this is what the scriptures say about, you know, such and such. I don't want to hear that. You reading out of that book a white man wrote. Or you reading out of that book that, you know, is a fairy book, because the Africans were here before the Bible was even printed. And that's some desert dust. What was told to me was it was some desert people that came up to a story, came up with a story and made up their God. Now, it's people saying that out of sheer ignorance because they don't know better. But we have to do better to present it the way that it is. Now, the reason those things have been going on and still go on today is because this scripture that Paul, our brother Paul, warned us about. It says 2 Corinthians 11, verse 14. It says, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. So Satan can deceive you to appear and give you an illusion of righteousness or something that is supposed to be right. But read on, it says, therefore, it is of no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. So a lot of people think that Creflo Dollar is doing something righteous by taking all his money in, buying jets, claiming he's doing missions all over the world and dealing with people. But we know the scriptures describe him according to righteousness as a greedy dog that can never get enough, a covetous man based on what the word of our Lord tells us. But most people will look at him and go, man, I'm not trying to even get at that. That's just a scam. He ain't nothing but a pimp. And they'll walk away from the scriptures and dismiss the scriptures based on that example and their ignorance. But for those that truly understand this word and what it's all about, you can see somebody like Creflo coming from 10 million miles away. And you don't even have to have good vision, just based on the things that you see going on. So I just wanted to lay that out there for people. It's not a tangent. It's a very, very, very important piece of this, because when we deal with people, we try to give them the understanding of the scriptures and why we fall in the conditions that we fall in. And they go off on sheer ignorance, talk about, no, we're Africans, and this is that. We come from kings and queens, and we were a great people, but never give you an answer on if we were such a great people, and these people that are over us are such debased, animalistic people, how did they get the one up on us and have had that one up since the antiquities of Greece? How did that happen? We haven't been in power since what? The time of the Greeks when they came in, according to the scriptures, through Alexander. That's all in the Bible, right? So now,
right.
When you look at that, you want to thun. I want to go back to the question, and I'm going to ask you to give your input. We just opened it up here, getting started. And I'm going to add the second piece in. When you look at what we're dealing with, as far as so-called rumor, with shooting spiking out in L.A., that there's a contest among some gangs to see who can kill 100 people first. And they're killing black people and brown people. So my question is, do black lives really matter to blacks? And then the second part of that is, you want to think, because the brother touched on his point on that first one. The second part is, why would the masses of people respect black lives if black people don't respect their own lives? You go right for it, bro.
Okay. Does black lives matter? Does Hispanic lives matter?
Do black lives really matter to blacks?
Right. And the answer is that the people... it's filled with the spirit of that murder and that hatred of themselves. And the answer is no. Right now, it does not. It matters in the sight of the Heavenly Father in Christ. It matters to brothers and sisters like ourselves that's repenting and recovering ourselves from the works of Satan. But the masses of our people, they do not really care. They don't care about themselves. They hate themselves. And they only get mad when someone else do what they do to themselves. You know, not to go off on a tangent, but just like the other day, you got every group up there in that courtroom in Cincinnati, Ohio, at that college where that police officer shot that man. But you don't see none of this going on in the communities telling the people, thou shalt not kill. The Lord said, thou shalt not kill. The Lord said, love thy brother as thyself. Love that neighbor as thyself. And this hang everything that's in this book hangs on that. Love the Most High and love that brother as thyself. You don't see that going on. And there's a reason why. The brothers was bringing out, we put these shows together for people to repent and turn. And a lot of the things, like the brothers were saying, that yes, we are the children of Israel scattered in all these nations. That's a reproach. But now I'm just going to bring it to a quick point. We have to learn to love the Heavenly Father and serve His Son Christ. And we as a nation of people refuse to do that. We don't want to do that. And no, it does not matter because we don't have the wisdom of the Lord. And Christ said it was going to be as such. I'm just going to go with Christ said. Matthew 24, there's a solution. The solution is the words of Christ. But Christ also said for the ones who don't want to follow him, he's given the solution as well. Matthew 24:12. And because iniquity shall abound, gangs, how are you going to form a gang to extort, to intimidate, to be violent and to strive with your brother? Because you ain't striving with no one else, okay? All of that is iniquity. And then Christ said, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. The love of many shall wax cold. And that's where we at now. So, no, black lives right now do not matter to black people because they don't. If black lives would matter, they would follow this Christ who has the words of life. Many a times over, he says, I have the words of eternal life. So if the lives matter, wouldn't you listen to the one that gives life? So to answer that, we all know that black lives do not matter to blacks because they hate Christ. Okay. Now, the second question is, could you repeat that? You said why?
Why would the masses of people respect black lives as black people don't respect their own lives? Listen, before you answer that, right, I want to play something. I want to play the chorus to a song from the 70s by the Sex Staple Singers, right? And I want people to think about what's being said. Listen. If you don't respect yourself, ain't nobody going to give a good hoot. So the way we are with each other, why would the masses of people respect our lives if black people don't respect their own lives?
And to answer that question, all nations and people, the masses of people, don't respect black people because the Lord said such. The Lord said, I'm just going to read. The Lord said in Proverbs 14 and verse 34. We read out the book that everybody don't want to follow anyway. It's evil now, right? It's everything's evil, and it's good. You know, you got men cutting and slicing themselves to be women, okay? You got all kinds. You got four different genders now, okay? So now
you got over 100 different genders. Go ahead.
Okay, so you got all these multiple genders, but the book of the life where the Heavenly Father said, let it all be good or let it all be bad. No, he'll spew you out. It's either right or it's good. We don't want to deal with that. But I'm going to read out of this book because this is our cure. Proverbs 14:34 says, righteousness exalteth a nation. So this nation, United States, is made up of many nations. When you look up the word nations, it's fathers of children that populate and become a group of people, and that group of people become a nation of people. So this nation of people with this black-on-black violence, okay, Hispanic violence, and wherever we scattered in all nations, pockets, and minority of people, we've been doing the same violence. It says righteousness exalted the people. Well, wherever we at, we ain't doing righteousness, so we're not being exalted. And it goes on, it says, but sin is a reproach to any people. And that's why we looked at as a nobody, a cast off, and as a reproach, because we love, how can I say this? We love to be in the mire of a pig pen instead of the righteousness of the Heavenly Father. And therefore, the masses of people don't respect us. That's all, bro.
Well, I want to add a little bit more to that.
I want you to add to that. And if you will, if you could bring out a scripture concerning that, because this is the thing. It was funny. I was just in a conversation yesterday, and I was talking about the Bible, and I was talking about the Bible to people when I first came around, when I really didn't have a good understanding on how to relay things in the Bible. But I was able to have a conversation and nobody got their face disjointed out of shape, whatever, because that's based on the way we understand how we're supposed to deal with the Bible as it is written. So when we present the Bible, we know a lot of things based on the scriptures, but let's forget about our understanding and what we understand and go into the scriptures to bring out for people that might not understand it. So if you would add on, I would like you to go into the scriptures and bring out scriptures to justify based on thus saith the Lord, what's coming out your mouth. Go ahead.
All right. So now I was able to scribble down the second part of that question, and that was, why would the masses of people respect black lives if we don't respect black lives?
Right, because the reason we're here, I'm reiterating this because people are joining in as we're talking. I see them coming up on the chat and then the call bank. The reason we're here is because it's a rumor that two gangs in South Central LA are in a contest to see who can kill 100 people first, which ones can kill 100 people first. And we know South Central LA is comprised of mostly blacks with some browns, but it ain't all white folks there. So it's black on black crime. And my question was, do black lives really matter to blacks, right? And we getting some of the issues why it appears it doesn't. But then the other part is you got all these people walking around protesting, hashtag Black Lives Matter, hashtag, I don't even know what that stuff means, but hashtag this, hashtag that, hashtag this, take the Confederate flag down. Why the life of me they want to take the Confederate flag down and not the Stars and Stripes? Because that's the flag that's been presiding over slavery. It started off with 13 stars in a circle when the early colony days and stripes, and then it ended up morphing into 50 stars. That's the constant flag that's been flying over slavery, right? But no one wants to deal with that. And I'm looking at this whole thing, I'm like, okay, so if black lives really matter, and then if we want people to respect black lives, why would the masses of other people respect our life if we don't have respect for our life? We kill each other like it's open season. Go ahead, bro.
Well, let's put it very plain and let's put it very bluntly. Other nationalities, other nations of people will not respect us until we learn to respect ourselves. And that process of learning, of us learning to respect ourselves, is summed up in one word. And that word is repentance. So now, repentance isn't, okay, I stopped smoking. Repentance isn't just, okay, I'm going to church every Sunday. True repentance is the changing of your mindset. True repentance is how you are changing how you view things from society or from a secular base to a spiritual base based out of the Holy Scriptures. So in other words, the true repentance is a change or represents a change in one's mindset, and that person dedicated themselves to the teachings and the example of Jesus Christ out of the Bible. That's true repentance. So from that aspect, let's look at it this way as well. Let's look at the book of Matthew, I apologize, chapter 5, starting at verse 14. And let's read what it says. It says, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on the hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Verse 16 is the key. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So, verse 16 is very, very, very key. It's a very profound statement. Well, all of it is very profound, but let's focus in on verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. In other words, Christ is saying, let your example, and not just any, not just any example, let your example of my life and my teachings so shine. Let it be manifest. Let it be visible. Let it be seen before men that they, as the scripture says, that they may see your good works wrought in Christ, in the spirit of Christ, in the teachings and example of Jesus Christ, and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So now, here is where you begin to reverse that. You pose the question, why would masses of people respect black lives if we don't respect our own lives? The way that we put that thing, or we turn that around, is that we repent and we put on and we adopt the example of Jesus Christ and his teaching. And, through time, people see that example, Our people see that example. Other nations see that example. They see what it is to truly follow Christ as it is, or as it is outlined in the scripture. And then, little by little, we begin to gain that respect. Now, something else that I would like to bring to the forefront, if you don't mind. This is 2 Timothy.
All right.
This is 2 Timothy chapter 3. And look at what it says. 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting at verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Now, and the list goes on, but what I wanted to emphasize was verse 1, starting, this know that in the last days perilous times shall come. We are living in those last days, believe it or not. We're living those last days. We've been living in the last days since the ascension of Christ back to the Heavenly Father in the book of Acts. We've been living in the last days since then. But now, it seems that we're really coming down to the last of the last days. Now, it also says perilous times shall come. This is an example of perilous times. When your life is in uncertainty, that you don't know whether you're going to come home from work or not, you live in perilous times. When you can go to social media and read about, even if it's just a rumor, read about a wager between two rival gangs in which one is wagering the other as to whether they can claim 100 lives in 100 days or not, you're living in some perilous times. When you got children murdering their parents or parents abandoning their children, you're living in some pretty perilous times. And when you can go to jail or be shunned by society for standing up for the word of the Heavenly Father and speaking out against wickedness, and you're shunned or you're ostracized or society isolates you, not to mention someone may try to inflict bodily harm on you, you're living in some perilous times. So all that I'm trying to say in the spirit of Jesus Christ is we are living in perilous times, and what we're talking about today in this particular show is just an example of the perilous times, these last days that we are currently living in.
Okay, so now, I mean, you did, you know, a decent job in explaining, you know, how we are in his last days. But like I said, we got people that might not be able to connect the dots to some of the things that you're saying because they lack some understanding. Because I got someone on here. I'm not going to use her name. I'll just say Miss Weeks. She, Justin, and I made a comment about slavery and the Confederate flag. And she wanted to know about white privilege and about slavery. And she made some analogies about Kodak, Band-Aid, Walmart, and so on and so forth. So this is the thing that we have to understand. What Satan has done, we talked about earlier, has kind of programmed us and gave us an understanding that this Bible was about everything but what the Bible is really about. A lot of us think that going to church on Sunday is the right thing to do, paying your tithes to a pastor, whether you get down with the prosperity doctrine or a Lutheran or Episcopalian, Black Methodist, African Methodist, all these other different things. We get into those things because that's what Satan has done. He has twisted our minds from the truth of the Bible, and we miss the history that comes out of the Bible. The only reason white privilege exists, you can even use that term, is because of the people of the Lord that don't know they're the people of the Lord have rebelled and transgressed against him. And one of the things that the Lord said would happen to his people for doing that is the Lord had happened to his people because he told them and pronounced that you will be the captives of the world, meaning you will go from the chosen people of God and you will be a captive to all the nations on the planet. That's why you got a certain group of people. When you look throughout history, they have endured slavery, captivity on top of captivity. Now, let's look at something. Let's connect some of the dots in history, right? For people to understand. Luke 21. Let me deal with this. I'll just bring this out. Luke 21. And it's all relevant to why black lives don't seem to matter to black people. Why? Because they've been a destroyed people. And the only way out is through something called repentance. That's fool's proof. Why? Because all you need is your mind to properly repent. Unless you're on some kind of psychotropic, demonic alchemy concoction, you know, to make your mind really messed up, no one else can control your mind. You can control whatever it is to deal with your mind to deal with these scriptures and properly repent. Now, let's look at something Christ said. They were talking about the temple and the last days and so on and so forth. And he's having a conversation with them, right? So in Luke 21, right here, what he says is this. He's talking about a point in history we all know. If you dealt with history or you understand history, he says in Luke 21, verse 20, and when ye shall see Jerusalem, this is Christ speaking, compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of depart out, and let not them that are in the countries enter thereinto. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. That's a very heavy point for us to understand. Christ said that it's going to be a time in that place, Jerusalem, that you cherish and the temple and everything about it, you're going to have some vengeance that's going to come upon the people there. And he said, it's going to be so bad that if you're there, flee out. If you're away on a journey, don't come back because the days of vengeance are coming. Read on. He says in verse 21, verse 23, but woe unto them that are with child and to them that give suck in those days, for there shall be great distress in the land and wrath upon this people. So there's going to be wrath upon the Jews, the Israelites, however you want to put it, that were in that land at that time when this thing happens. Now, what's going to be the result of what's going to happen? He said, listen, it's going to be hard for women that are pregnant and women that have young suckling children because this is going to be a heavy, heavy thing that's going to happen in this land. Reading on. Verse 24, and they shall fall, meaning this people, the Israelites, the Jews, the nation of Israel, and they shall fall by the edge of the sword and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. So let me explain that so people understand. Christ is talking about the fall of Jerusalem. The fall of Jerusalem happened in 70 AD under General Vespasian and his son Titus, right? They were from the Roman persuasion. They came in and destroyed the city, and it's never been right since. That's why Christ said, leave. But understand this. What did he say would happen to the people? It says they would fall by the end of, edge of the sword, meaning a lot of them are going to be killed. The ones that didn't get killed, what's going to happen to them? They're going to be led away captive into all nations. And then the city Jerusalem shall be trodden down of what? The Gentiles, the other nations, showing you a separation, until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. So there's a time period that the Israelites are going to be under the thumb of all the nations, and we have been. including in this land that we're in now. See, we can't see far off the forest for the trees because we think and hate on the white man. But every nation that has ever existed had us in captivity in some shape, form, or fashion. Why? Because we rebelled against our father. That's why. So what we're looking at is a historical event that a lot of people go, oh, you already heard the story of Masada? Well, the story of Masada is that's what Christ was talking about right here. That's when the Israelites tried to deal with that last stronghold, and they got destroyed by Titus and Vespasian. And they got killed and taken into captivity. Just so people understand, the reason that we deal with white privilege and why so-called blacks in this land and all over the world and so-called browns and people calling them all kind of islands and land names of continents and countries that what have that same mark of captivity. The reason we have the captivity, which is nothing but slavery signed upon us as a people, is because we're the ones that were chosen and we rebelled against our God. So in 70 AD, guess what happened? The Most High may come to pass, because we read earlier, it says that this thing is going to come so all things might be fulfilled. Now, let me just go to another place real quick. So this is why we dealing with white privilege. Because before it was white privilege, it was Babylonian privilege. After that, it was Persian and Mede privilege. Then the Greeks and the Romans. And where we at to this very day. Because we ain't dealing with nothing but the Greco-Roman setup right now. It's just morphed into modern times. So now, when you look at this, right, I'm going to go to Daniel 9 because he said the same thing. He talked about what Christ talked about. That's why we know it's true. I'm going to read Daniel 9 real quick just to bring out the point, and then I'll let you brothers come in to deal with it. See, because we want to know why we destroyed, right? We want to know why we destroyed. Now, the sister, we want you to listen because we've given a history. We don't need no analogies. We got the records that go beyond analogies. The sister want to call in and give the analogy of what she's talking about with Walmart, the Confederate flag. We know it's hatred and foolishness and madness. But we're going to deal with the real reason why. We're not being rude. But we're going to deal with Bible. We got enough people talking off the top of their heads, and they might make very good points. But what we really need to focus on is what the Bible is telling us, because it's true and sure. That's what we need to focus on. It's true, sure, and right, because it was told to us back in antiquity. We just didn't listen. So now I'm going to read Daniel 9, starting at verse 9. It says, to the Lord our God belongeth mercies and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his ways, which he set before us by his servants the prophets. Yea, all Israel have transgressed thy law, even by departing, but they have not obeyed thy voice. Therefore, the curse is poured upon us. We are cursed. Slavery is a curse. That's why it happened so harshly and so long, over an elongated period of time to a certain people. And we want to say things like we were great kings and queens in Africa, and you get some of these fools talk about, and the white man was living in caves and didn't even know how to wipe his behind properly. Duh. Well, what happened? When you deal with these Afrocentric leaning people and they want to talk about great kings and queens, they never can tell you why these great kings and queens end up letting a man crawl out the caves, let them tell it, and conquered the world. How does that happen? We reading how it happens right here. Why? Because we were set up by a power that's greater than anything, and we disobeyed him. Verse 11, yea, all Israel have transgressed thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore, the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against him. So when you go back to Deuteronomy 28, there's a bunch of curses in there, and we live in every last one of them. And he hath confirmed his words, which he hath spake against us and against our judges that judge us, by bringing upon a great evil. For under the whole heaven hath not have been done as hath been done upon Jerusalem. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil has come upon us, yet, like you said, Yehonathan, and like you said, Kazak, yet may we not our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand thy truth. This is the problem. This is why hashtag Black Lives Matters don't matter. How many Confederate flags that they got to take down, it doesn't matter. Those are symbols. We talking about a Confederate flag, but yet and still we participate in self-genocide. Why do I say that? Because if you look at it overall, just Black people, we're not talking about everybody else that's part of this, just Black people, when you look in this country, 53% of our babies are being sucked out of their mother's womb on Planned Parenthood abortion mills. That means that we are participating in our own genocide. How sick is that? Why? Because we will not turn our face to serve the Lord. So Black Lives Matter? Tell that to the baby that's being ripped apart with a vacuum out of his mother's womb at about 53 or 52%. Why do we make up 13% of the population, but we make up about 55% of the abortions? Because we are cursed. We have a cursed mind, and we got to learn how to turn to our Lord to get out of this thing and deal right. Why do we go? Why does the hood look like the hood? It's mostly Black people in the hood. Most of the hoods that I grew up around and in, I didn't see a whole lot of white folks. Why does the hood look like the hood? Why do little old ladies and old men have to be scared at night and put 9 locks on their door in the hood? Black Lives Matter, right? Why do you have these little demons that's raising up, breaking into the houses, killing one another, killing old people, and got people scared to go to the store, corner store? Why? Because we curse and we're evil and we won't turn to the Lord. So when you really look at it, we want people to care about us and we don't give a damn about our neighbor. All right, brothers, I said a lot to bring that point out because I wanted to make sure that we get a frame of reference for somebody. I know it's a lot coming at you if you knew, but you got to understand that this Bible is serious and it's about us. It ain't about no Book of the Dead and hieroglyphs in some cave or pyramid over in Egypt. This is our book. This is it. That's what we have to understand. So now, you want to throw Kazak, y'all want to add anything to what I just said and laid out? If y'all want to edify it, go ahead, bro. Anybody?
Oh no, I'm good. I think you pretty much covered it there, brother.
Okay, so now, check it out, right? This is what we're going to do. Now, I want y'all to understand something. Now, remember, this thing is sketchy with this social media thing. They're saying things like it's rumored, right, that the spike in shootings and killings in South Central LA is about this wager that these gangs have put out there, right? It's rumored, right? But now I want y'all to listen to something. I just want y'all commentary. I'll start with you, Yehonathan. I want you to listen to this. Now, I'll start with Memorial Day. In the friendly, windy city, let's see what happened on Memorial Day. Black Lives Matter, right? And we want people to care about our lives as Black people, right? Let's pay attention to what Black people are doing around Black people.
Unfortunately, it has been a violent holiday weekend all over Chicago. There has been yet another deadly shooting. This morning, 3 people were shot in the West Englewood neighborhood in the 6100 block of South Honoré. A 29-year-old woman died. 2 men were hit. They were all taken to the hospital. Police say shots rang out after a group of men were told they couldn't go into a party at an apartment. Right now, no one is in custody. From Friday afternoon until early this morning, 6 people have died in violent incidents. 24 others have been wounded, among them a 4-year-old girl who was shot in the head Friday night in Englewood. Right now, she is still in critical condition at Comer Children's Hospital.
Now, that's just Memorial Weekend in Chicago, right?
Right.
You want a time?
Mm-hmm.
I got a question. Were all those shootings going on the southwest side of Chicago, What? Who comprises those neighborhoods? What's the demographic? And what do those people look like?
Mainly those people are people of blacks, African-American, people of color, Hispanic, people of color. Okay, so they would call themselves the minority. Okay, the blacks and Hispanics.
Wait a minute. I thought Black Lives hashtag, Black Lives Matter hashtag.
Not that weekend, brother.
Wait a minute.
Not that weekend.
Wait a minute. Hashtag Black Lives Matter hashtag. Wait, listen to this one. This is 4th of July.
Tonight's shooting coming on the heels of a very violent and deadly holiday weekend in the city of Chicago. More than 80 people were shot, 14 of them killed. Hey. The majority of the deadly shootings happened on Chicago's south and west sides. Eyewitness News reporter Ben Bradley tonight live at police headquarters. Ben.
By now you know what happened tonight. We try to explore why with a look at this especially violent weekend through many eyes.
The vast majority of the violence, though, happens before police arrive. Citywide, 82 people were shot. 14 of them died. Among them, Tanya Gunn, shot in a drive-by at a family barbecue in Morgan Park.
Shot in front of her daughter, that's sad.
Who are the murderers and their victims? A 2011 Chicago police analysis found 90% of murder victims in the city are men. 76% of victims have prior arrest records. The most common age of killers, 17 and 18 years old.
Now, a lot of people will say, where were the police? What are the police doing? And that's a fair question, but not the only question. Where are the parents? Where is the community?
And late word as we came on the air tonight, a 25-year-old man shot Sunday night near 80th in Muskegon has now died as a result of his injuries, making it 15 people killed over the long holiday weekend.
So, Black Lives Matter, huh? Did they get the memo in Chicago? Because I'll guarantee you tonight, they said that they got at least 8 shootings a day. There's a shooting, I think every 8 hours or every 3 hours or something in Chicago. So, it 3 hours, every 3 hours. So it ends up to 8 shootings a day, 3 times 8. I think, 24. Yeah, I wasn't good at math, but they drop like flies. But the thing about it is, did you notice in the report, Kazak, and I want you to comment on that, because a lot of our people are caught up with the sensationalizing, my tongue got tied up, in the media when a white cop shoots a black man, which is a terrible thing. Don't think that I'm taking up for the cops that's just trigger happy and killing people, right? But they want to talk about that. But that is only like really a minute percentage of the deaths of black people when they didn't give in that stats because they wanted to be politically correct. 100% of the people that were involved in those shootings in Chicago were black on black, right? Number one. Number right. two, the thing that really got me in that report was he said most of the violence happens before the cops show up. But I thought Black Lives Matter, because what's wrong?
What's wrong?
What's wrong?
Where's that scripture? And I need some help with it. It's in the book of Jeremiah where it talks about why it's to do evil, but to do good.
422.
Please bear with me while I get it.
Jeremiah 422.
It says Jeremiah 422. For my people is foolish. They have not known me. They are sottish children, and they have none understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good they have no knowledge. So in other words, the Heavenly Father is basically calling us a whole bunch of stupid people. I hate to be that blunt. I hate to be that callous. I hate to be that just rude or rough with it, but that's what the scripture says. The Lord is calling us foolish people, sottish children that have no understanding. The understanding that we lack seriously and gravely is is the understanding of the scriptures. And here again, the words of the Lord, they are wise to do evil. That means our people know how to break laws. Our people know how to try to get over on other people. Our people know how to take advantage of each other, take advantage of other people, other nations, and definitely abuse a system. But to do good, to repent, to try to follow Christ, keep the commandments, and put on his example, our people as a nation. I'm not talking about collective pockets here, there. I'm talking about as a nation. They have no knowledge. We have no knowledge of that. So when you talk about, when you ask me that question, what's wrong, Kazakh? Black on black, what's wrong with our people? Black Lives Matter, right? The main thing that's wrong with our people is the fact that we are so hell-bent on doing wickedness that we don't understand the concept, the true concept of doing righteousness. We don't understand the true concept of love thy neighbor as thyself. We don't understand the true concept of don't commit adultery. Don't sleep with your brother's woman. Don't sleep with anybody else's woman for that matter. Don't have to be your brother, but not. Don't sleep with somebody else's wife. We don't understand that concept. We don't understand the concept of loving and serving the Heavenly Father in spirit and in truth. And because we don't understand that concept, it's all the more easier for wickedness and wicked persuasions to take hold, to take root on us as a people and overtake us because we have no foundation in Christ. Now, let's look at Psalms 11 and verse 5. And this is what the Heavenly Father says. It says, "The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth." What? God hates? Let me read this again. "The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth." So when the scripture says the Lord trieth the righteous, it's telling us that the Lord is proving the righteous. The Lord is testing us to make sure that those that are righteous, they are going to stay and remain on that path of righteousness. And just because the Lord is testing us or testing the righteous doesn't mean that the Heavenly Father is forsaking them. Now, the flip side, "But the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth." The soul of God Almighty hates those persons that are bent, that love wickedness, that love to do violence, that love to murder, that love to destroy, that love to wreak havoc and cause chaos. That's why repentance is so important, because if not, we will fall under the wrath and judgment of the Heavenly Father for our wickedness. And the end result of our wickedness, if we don't repent, is death. One more scripture. I'll turn it back over to you, brother. This is Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 25. And look, and I apologize. It's not 25, it's verse 12. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12. Look at what it says. It says, "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." So now let's look at that. The scriptures are telling us that there is a way which seems right unto a man. It may seem right to a man to shoot another man. It may seem right to a man to sleep with some other man's wife. It may seem right to a man to indulge himself or engage himself in false religion or philosophy or strange doctrine. It may seem right to a woman to be with another woman. It may seem right to a woman to have multiple men lovers, to be a fornicator. It may seem right to a woman to be an adulteress. It may seem right to a man or a woman to celebrate strange holidays like Christmas, Easter, Thanksgiving, Mother's Day, Father's Day, and the list goes on. But look at the scriptures. "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." Those ways, which include gang violence, gang activity, murder. It may seem right to a person to commit those acts. It may seem right to a person to involve himself or herself in that type of lifestyle, but the end result of that lifestyle, of those activities, if that person does not repent, will be death. And that's thus saith the Lord, which is the reason why, here again, repentance is so important. Back to you, brother.
Very good. Very good. Jonathan, you want to add in?
Well, yeah, you know, the whole thing, the whole nature, the whole solution is like what the brothers were saying. Turn it back to the Heavenly Father in amending ways, like the scriptures tell us. And Jeremiah, I just want to put this in here. Jeremiah chapter 7. Okay, and I'm going to start at verse 3 once I get there. Here we go. Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 3. It says clearly, it says, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place." We're not, even though Jeremiah was speaking to our forefathers years ago, and even now he's speaking to us now, and we're not dwelling in the place of, we have uncertain homelands and dwelling, okay? And the thing is, we don't have a sure foot because we don't want to turn our ways. And we hear this word like kryptonite to us. It's like bug spray to a bug, the word of the Heavenly Father. And as long as we as people continue to do that, okay, we're going to always be, the masses are always, we're going to be a reproach to them. And our lives are really never going to matter because we won't turn back to the answer and stop the wickedness that we're doing from the murder, gang on gang. That's what we're speaking of tonight. That's a big murder. But our Lord and Savior says that, told us that he that hated his brother in his heart is a murderer. So all of that stuff, you 100 days, are you abortion clinics, or you have grudges on your people, or you want to commit adultery on your people, you want to deceive your people, all of that stuff is murder. And the thing is, if we don't want to turn back and hear these words, we're not going to, our lives ain't going to matter, and the masses are always going to look at, here it is, we are supposed to be the light of the world, like Christ said, okay, in Matthew 5, the 5th chapter. The Lord says the Lord said that Israel is his peculiar treasure. But we're not acting nowhere near those forms. We totally degenerate. We turn totally in darkness, and we love it. And then all of this madness is going on, and we don't want to talk about it.
Right.
I'm going to read one more thing. It says one more thing here. I'm going to read down in Jeremiah 7 and 6. It says, "If ye oppress not the stranger," that's what they're doing, "I don't know you, but I'm going to kill you," okay? "The fatherless," the guy, and there's much fatherlessness in our neighborhoods, they're doing the same thing, oppressing the fatherless. "And the widow," like we said earlier, old man, old woman cannot be in their house safe because of the young monsters is going crazy. And it says, "And shed not innocent blood in this place, neither walk after other gods to your heart." And it goes on and on. But all the things that we just mentioned is what's going on in our neighborhoods on an all-time high. Because, once again, we reject this Bible and everything else is right. But since we've been doing everything else, we can't get nothing done right. Back to you, bro.
And you know that's a sign of insanity, right? You keep doing the wrong thing expecting a better or different result. You know what I mean? We continually want to protest, march, turn the Bible away, be in Afrocentrism, Rastafarianism, all these different varied religion, Islam, so on and so forth. And we continue to see the degradation, the just disdain and the buffoonery that we fall in, and danger and detriment, and it's all the curses. If you look at the curses, when it talks about our lives hanging in doubt, man, the dude from Cincinnati just just was talking to the cop. The cop said, hey, do you have a driver's license? Bang! Killed him. Shot him in the head. If that's not your life hanging in doubt, I don't know what is. That's listed in the curses in Deuteronomy 28 chapter. But once again, it all comes from us understanding why we've gone through the things historically as a people that we have gone through. This thing just didn't come about when we came over here in slavery on ships. Or we were, you know, brought from, and a lot of people don't even understand that history. They don't even understand when they hear the word triangle slave trade. They have no clue. They think it's just slavery in America. But the triangle slave trade meant that way it went to and fro. That's what it means. So we were captives and being made captives all over the world as it has always been with our people. But now let's look at something. Isaiah 5 and 13. Something he said. He said, therefore, my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge. And their honorable men are famished and their multitude dried up with thirst. So now, what did he say? You read a scripture earlier in Hosea. It's pretty much the same concept. But the thing that I want to deal with something, bro, because we're dealing with a specific issue here about how this clique rolling with the hundreds or whatever, and all the streets in that area in South Central are like 107th, 108th, such and such and such. So they call it the rolling hundreds or something. Bunch of cliques and these gangs or whatever, they got this contest to see, so-called rumor, to see who can kill 100 people in 100 days first. But we don't have to say, we know the shootings are off the damn chain if you follow the news out there. And it's spike. They want to say, I like the way they use words, spike in crime activity and shootings. A spike. No, it's our dang people going and acting a damn fool and sinful and evil and dealing with Satan because they don't know no better. That's what it is. No different. We don't have to say it's rumor in Chicago because I picked Memorial Day weekend and 4th of July weekend. And if you combine those two weekends, right, 15 died one weekend and 12 died one weekend, but it was over 100 people that got shot. Two weekends in Chicago, black on black. So my question is, and that's just two cities. No, that's what we're talking about, two cities. But any urban ghetto-fied area or any area where we live, look at the island of Jamaica. Try to go to Kingston, Jamaica and hang out and see how that's going to go for you. It ain't going to go well because it's the same people. Go to Mexico. It ain't going to go well because that's where our people resort. Why? They destroyed. Their mind is totally warped. And the reason that they are in dire, debased conditions, right? Or you want it in Corpus Christi, Texas, when you was down there working. Any city where we resort is a bunch of maiming, killing, robbing, stealing. Why? Because we are the captives of the world. Our minds are destroyed because we don't retain the knowledge of God. Let me read another scripture. What kind of knowledge, right? We talk about killing in particular, right? Let's go to Matthew 5. And I'm going to read some knowledge that Christ was spouting. But he was telling us how to deal with this thing. It's a process of your mind. It says here in Matthew 5, verse 21, you have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill. And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. So that's real simple. Remember when he gave that commandment, thou shalt not kill? Matter of fact, he told Cain that, you know, you're your brother's keeper. And then when that whole thing transpired and he murdered Abel, when Noah, in Noah's time, it was a bunch of murdering and killing and maiming and fornication going on, he flooded the planet. One of the first things he told Noah when he touched down on dry land was, don't shed innocent blood. Don't murder, right? So Moses comes around with the children of Israel. They had it written all over, don't commit murder. So it was said in old times, don't commit murder, but we know murder was still going on. But then Christ is going to give us his understanding that we supposed to implement. And this is the problem. Our people ain't paying attention. They ain't dealing with this. Matter of fact, they reject this. That's why you got people in South Central LA scared to come out the house right now, because these damn terrorists are going around trying to kill them. And these terrorists, I ain't talking about Al-Qaeda. Allahu Akbar, ba-boom. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about people that look like you in your neighborhood dwelling where you resort. So what did Christ say? It was said in ancient times, since the antiquities, don't kill. But Christ said, look it. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Why? Because that's murder. You pissed off, and what is that going to lead to? It's going to lead to what? Violence, and this is what we got going on. But our people don't want to look at this. Oh, that's a fairy tale. The white man wrote that. That book of fairy tales you read not of. If you followed this, the hood wouldn't look like the hood with blood draining all through it. It says, but I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother, Rakah, shall be in danger of the council, meaning you looking at your brother as a what? A vain, worthless fellow or thing. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Why? Because the scriptures say we're supposed to love our neighbor as ourselves. We're supposed to have love for our brother, not contempt and hatred. Not because you wear one color and I wear one color, we mortal enemies. That's straight foolishness. Why? Because you're dealing with a cursed mind that lacks knowledge. Why are we in captivity still to this very day? Slaves to whatever government system we under? Slave to a piece of paper that don't, legal tender that don't mean a damn thing? Slaves to not paying your taxes and fees on your stuff you so-called own, and see how long you own it when you don't pay it. That's slavery. We still are slaves. A lot of people don't even know what it is to be free because we've been cursed as slaves so long. When you're free, you don't pay taxes to anybody else. You own what you own, and that's it. That's what freedom is. You have a homeland. You know your nationality, which ain't nothing but the people that you come from in the earth. It ain't no continent. But we destroy because we lack all that knowledge. That's why we resort to the things that you see. Black folks getting mad at each other and shooting 80 people and killing 15 of them in one weekend. Because the principles that we have to develop and understand and grow in, we totally reject and refuse to deal with. That's what we have to understand as a people, right? So now, look, I'm going to play the opening clip, and I'm going to let y'all make closing remarks because we're going to wrap this thing up, and we're going to get ready to leave it alone. And we're going to let people, I'm going to play the long clip so we can hear why we did this council. Everybody pay attention to what's going on in South L.A., as of, I think, last week or a couple weeks ago.
Morning, a hail of gunfire breaks out throughout South Los Angeles, sparking a brief tactical alert by police. Eyewitness News reporter Darsha Phillips is live at the LAPD's 77th Division with the latest on these gang-related shootings. Darsha.
John, well, a total of five people were shot within a matter of hours in three separate incidents. Now, LAPD does not have any suspects in custody, but they do say that they believe all of these shootings were gang-related. Now, one person did not survive that shooting. Now, the latest shooting occurred about 9:40 last night at Vermont Park. Two females and a male were transported with gunshot wounds. Their conditions are not known at this time. Police are searching for a suspect, but have little to go on. And about 30 minutes before the gunfire at Vermont Park, a man was shot in the stomach about 3.5 miles away on Hyde Park Boulevard in Brynhurst. He was transported to the hospital and was alert and talking. And earlier yesterday, about 4 p.m., a young man was fatally shot in the head on 81st and Hooper. Now, all of these shootings prompted an LAPD tactical alert that lasted until 1 a.m. yesterday. And again, LAPD do believe that all these shootings are gang-related. Now, I do want to tell you about a warning on social media that has to do with 100 days, 100 nights, which refers to an apparent rival bet between two rival gangs in this area who will plan on killing 100 people in 100 days. Now, we did ask LAPD about this, and they said that they are aware of the phrase but will not comment further on this. But again, very disturbing that these are the warnings that are going on social media. It's hashtag 100 days, 100 nights. Many people on social media are asking folks in this area to stay safe. Live in South Los Angeles, I'm Darsha Phillips, ABC 7 Eyewitness News. Yes.
Just so the audience that's listening know, this is South Central LA, where primarily black people with a spatter of brown people live. And this is what's going on. So the question is, really, do black lives really matter to blacks or black people? So you want to start with you summing it up. You know, we're going to get ready to sign out. You sum it up and bring any closing remarks you want to bring out, bro. You want
to talk? Yeah, I'm right here. Sorry
okay,
about that. Let me keep it real direct. St. John 6:63. Christ, the words of Christ says, it is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Mm-hmm. So the key thing in this verse is everything, but Christ, the point that I'm going to narrow on here is when Christ says, the words that I speak unto you, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So if black life matters, okay, and people want a solution to the problem, okay, they would turn and follow this Messiah that the Bible calls Jesus Christ, okay, the one that sits on the right of the Father as we speak right now. And we would get into his words and begin to purge out the ills that Jesus Christ mandated and said was ills, black life wouldn't matter then. But until we do that, black life does not matter, and that we're just going to death in an avalanche, in a snowball free fall, until we turn back words of Christ. So that's my exhortation to the audience. That's a warning for myself and my household. And it's also words of life for my household and me. So, and we exhort everyone to turn back to this Messiah, Jesus Christ, and pick up this book and turn it and analyze and begin to purge yourself from the wicked works mandated by Jesus Christ. That's all.
Very good. Very good. Kazak, you want to give out some closing wisdom out of the scriptures?
Just a few points. The main thing is this, you know, the question that you posed at the onset of the show: do black lives matter to blacks? Well, let's look at what the Lord says. This is 1 John chapter 3, because the brother you wanted to he quoted the scripture, but let's read it. This is 1 John chapter 3, starting at verse 15. It says, "Whoso hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him." So this thing that's going on in Los Angeles, South Central Los Angeles, where you have this ongoing wager between gangs as to, you know, who can kill 100 people, that's just an example of hatred, which is an example of murder, which is an example of murder. Hatred being the catalyst that leads to murder. And what did the Lord say about it? "Whoso hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him." For anybody that is a murderer, that has hatred in their heart towards somebody else, unless they repent, they will not see the kingdom of heaven. Going forward, "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." This is truly when black lives matter, when we are walking, when we are conducting ourselves and patterning our lives according to the teachings and example of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, that being stated, I'd like to close in the book of Luke, chapter 13. Start at verse 1, and it says, "There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, Suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans, because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." So the point of the matter is, the persons that were murdered, that have been murdered in South Central Los Angeles so far, all of the lives that were taken in Chicago, do you think that they were sinners above all other persons on the face of this earth? Nah. But unless you repent, we will all likewise perish. So the point of the matter is, you see these things that are happening. You see these things that are befalling our people. And don't think that these things that are happening to us, it's just something for you to marvel at, be like, oh, well, it happened. It's something for us to really think about, something for us to really ponder and contemplate within ourselves. Because if not, it stands very well possible that we all could end up on the receiving end of a bullet, unless we repent. So the point of the matter is, these things that are happening, they are nonetheless messages from the Lord telling us that we have to repent, telling us that we have to change our minds to what's in line with the scriptures. And once that change takes place in our minds, then our actions will be demonstrative, of that change. But it all starts with repentance. That's it, brother. Back to you.
Okay, very good, brothers. I'm going to take it with the last thoughts before we sign out. Now, we sought out to deal with the question, do Black lives really matter to Blacks? And why would the masses of people respect Black lives if Black people don't respect their own lives? Because what we see is examples, you know, time and time and time again, of we're getting upset because a white cop, mainly when a white cop kills a Black person, for whatever reason, right? Some of these cops are just demonic as hell. Some of them are scared. Some of them, I don't know, just bad training or whatever, right? But that happens probably 0.2 to 0.35% of the time. But when you look at FBI statistics, the last time when a Black person dies, 93% of the time is at the hands of another Black person. So let's look at it. We're weighing something that happens 0.2% something at a time. Both of them are terrible, but you never see the outrage of something that happens 93% of the time. So the question is, it doesn't appear that Black lives really matter to Black people. Now let's add the abortion rate, right? We look at the abortion rate, more children from so-called Blacks, and when you add Browns and all the others that are our family too, in there, it's like something like 60-something percent of our babies are being what? Slaughtered. So how can a race or a nationality of people continue if they're willingly committing genocide on themselves? And this is the thing. So we can gain respect from the other masses of people, and we can love our people if we do something that Moses told us a long time ago, and I'm going to read it. And the reason why this is so relevant, because when you read John 5, start at verse 45 to 47, you find out Christ and Moses are in agreement. They're not fighting, unlike what the world teaches, right? So when you look at Deuteronomy, the fourth chapter, I'm going to start at verse 5. It reads, "Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me that ye should do so in the land whither ye go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this is This great nation is a wise and understanding people. Verse 7. For what nation is there so great who hath God so high nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? And what nation is there so great that have statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I have set before you this day? So now, we have to take heed to that, because it continues on to say that, and understand it ain't about no old law. It's about the way that we're supposed to be through our Lord and Savior Christ with the Most High God. There's no difference between Moses explaining that, what we just read, and what Christ came and told us when he said repent. Because repentance causes you to change your mind. You change your mind to be what Moses was telling us to deal with and be right here. Until we do that, black lives aren't going to matter. And we're not going to be respected. Because when we do that, to come back and turn to our Lord and Savior and get back right with the Most High, there is no power on the earth that can be against us. So having said that, we give all praises for the brother Kazak in ATL and the brother Yawanathan in ATL. I'm your humble host, brother Kakungabar, and we say shalom and have a good night.